Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Bechoros Daf Chav Zayin Bechoros 27. Today's Daf Yomi, our Gemara is discussing Trumas Chutz La'aretz, which is the obligation of tithing outside of the land of Israel, which is only a rabbinic obligation. The obligation of giving a tithe to the Kohen and a portion or Miser to the Levite, this is really only a practice in the land of Israel, as it states in the Gemara in Kedushin 37a, that every commandment which comes from the land and is dependent upon the land of Israel, that's only obligatory in Israel. However, rabbinically, there is an obligation to separate Trumos and Maestros outside the land of Israel, certainly in the places that were close to the land of Israel. So our sugya, our Gemara, discusses the obligation of, even though we are separating this tithe outside of the land of Israel, nevertheless, there are certain leniencies that apply to it. The Gemara in Chulin 6b discusses that Rebbe allowed people to eat food in Beit Shan without separating a Truma Miser, because that was considered to be like outside the land of Israel. Even though today Beit Shan is considered part of modern-day state of Israel, that in Rebbe's time was considered outside of the land of Israel. And we see from here that as a result of this, this practice is not obligatory outside the land of Israel. And Rashi writes there in Chulin that Rebbe allowed this only specifically about the Truma, which is biblically obligated in Israel, and so therefore outside of the land of Israel it's only rabbinic. But the Truma and all the other things that are not Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar, which there's no biblical obligation, but like, for example, Peros, fruits, there is not even a rabbinic obligation outside the land of Israel. So that's a separate discussion. But today's Daf Yomi covers many of the leniencies that apply to Truma outside the land of Israel. And the Gemara tells us a story about this, that Rav Nachman and Rav Amram and Rami Bar Chama, or what's Havi Ka'azli Ba'arba, they were going on a ship. This is at the bottom of 27a. And Salak Rav Avram Ipanuye. So Rav Avram went to relieve himself. So while Rav Amram went to relieve himself, a woman came and she went and she asked a question of them. And she said to them, Tamei Meis, if a person has become, if a Kohen has become Tamei by touching a dead body, Sheyitbol v'ochol b'trumas, Trumas Chutz La'aretz, is a person immediately, this person who touched a dead body, this Kohen, is immediately allowed to eat the Truma outside the land of Israel immediately after he immerses and eat in a mikvah, and even before the sun sets. Because generally speaking, that Kohen, for a certain Tumah, that he would become, even though he immerses in the mikvah, he has to wait till nightfall by biblical Truma. So in this case, we're asking, this woman was asking, can he eat the Truma immediately? So Rav Nachman said to Rami Bar Chama, V'chi azah yesh lanu, I don't understand, if he's touched a dead body, what he needs to have this sprinkling of the red heifer's ashes upon him, and do we have such sprinkling today? Meaning to say, since there's no sprinkling, he also doesn't need the other stringency, which is waiting till nightfall, and so therefore he'd be able to eat it right away. So when Rav Nachman said this to Rami Bar Chama, so he says, shouldn't we wait for Rav Amram? Rav Amram went to relieve himself. Shouldn't we wait for him to come back? And maybe we shouldn't give a ruling until he returns. In the meantime, Rav Amram came back, and Rav Amram said, and they asked him this exact question, and Rav Amram said, Hachi Amar Rav, Tamei Meis Tova V'Ochol B'Trumas Chutz La'aretz. He said exactly the way Rav Nachman ruled, that indeed a person who has become Tamei by touching a dead body, all they need to do is immerse, and they can immediately eat the Truma outside the land of Israel, and they do not need to wait for nightfall. And the Gemara says, actually, leis hilchas akavase, the law is not like him, but rather a tamei mei, somebody who's touched a dead body, needs to wait until nightfall in order to eat the Truma outside the land of Israel. But on the basis of this Gemara, we see that from the fact that Rav Nachman said to Rami Bar Chama, is there sprinkling of the red heifer's ashes, and he said in a shocking way, so this would seem to indicate that in their time period, there was already no ashes of the red heifer. And so, indeed, That's how the Yalkut Meiri says, that as a result of his shock, we could see that there was no ashes of the red heifer in their time, not even in Babylon and not even in the land of Israel. However, even though that's what it seems like from our Gemara, the Chidar, Chaim Yosef David Azulai, records a tradition that indeed the Amoraim did have the ashes of the red heifer. And he writes in a shocking thing that it's obvious that the Arizal, the great Rabbi Isaac Luria, who lived in 16th century Tzfat, the greatest Kabbalist, that he used to become purified from the ashes of the red heifer, and the way he got them was through Elijah the prophet. And after he was sprinkled upon himself with these ashes of the red heifer, the divine presence, the Ruach HaKodesh, rested upon him, and he says, I didn't find any hint to this, and I didn't hear about it. However, I'm sure that he must have had something, and because it's impossible that the Arizal would have had such a ability to have such tremendous insights without having had the ashes of the red heifer. And so we see from here that people have attributed to the great Arizal that he did have the ashes of the red heifer, and not only that, but also in the time of the Amoraim, that there were also a tradition that, and Tosfos hints to this too, that the ashes of the red heifer, while they weren't available in this story for Rav Nachman, that they were possibly available in the land of Israel, and possibly also in the time of the Dari, coming from the great Elijah the prophet.